Tech pin. Well, you better learn to edit. Compliments of Rob O'Bank.
We're starting off right.
Are we ready, sir?
Ready.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Oceano Community Services District. Bi-monthly meeting, May 11th. Celia, can I ask you to do a roll call, please?
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Garrow?
I'm here as well.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Lucy?
Here. Thank you. First of all, I want to apologize for the echo in the room. We've just got some new remodeling. Hopefully, Mr. Ogren will talk about it. But our sound will adjust to the size, so we apologize if there's an echo. Please do. Okay.
Thank you, Bob.
Great. So, Karen, can I ask you to lead us in a flag salute?
Attention, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. Does anybody have any changes, additions, modifications, edits to the agenda that they'd like to see tonight?
We do. We have one addition to accounts payable.
Okay.
And that addition is actually a refund to a customer.
All right.
Who happens to make twice a month automatic deposits and has built up a sizable credit in the amount of $1,095.94, and that's account 37442-01.
Would that be mine?
And no. Anyway, and she's requested a refund of the credit.
Okay.
And so that's been added to the package.
Great. Thank you very much.
The appropriate motion for the approval of the consent agenda at the time then would be as modified.
Correct. Thank you for that direction. All right. At this time, we're going to take public comment for any items that are not on the agenda tonight. Ms. Tacker.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker. And I caught last month, I guess it was, the Brad Pomerantz show with Mary Lucy and Pavo Ogren. And what struck me, and I've heard it here, I've heard it in the Sanitation District, I hear Ms. Lucy say this all the time, and it's the catchphrase, regional approach. And the reason I bring that up is because Pismo Beach is now calling their project a regional project, and yet your board actually is somehow involved in that you've voted to support them in their regional approach that really doesn't include you. So WSC is working on a new scope for the sanitation district in the city of Arroyo Grande for recycled water from the sanitation district. And I have heard regional approach. It just makes sense, doesn't it? We're NCMA partners. We're all getting along. But Pismo is out there moving forward without you. And so something Mr. Guerrero said at a sanitation district meeting a couple of months ago, he suggested that if Pismo doesn't kind of slow down and have a conversation with the sanitation district partners, including Oceano, that perhaps your board actually might even consider withdrawing its support. And I think that's a healthy conversation that your board perhaps should have, or ask your general manager to go see what it will take to truly have a regional approach with regard to recycled water. There's all these sideshows going on, the Diablo at DeSal and what Arroyo Grande mentioned last night. They're talking about state water as a possibility for them. Let's get to the nuts and bolts of a regional recycled water facility that manages all the waste, treated waste, from the four communities. And your board, I hope the Sand District representatives have shared the letter from the Coastal Commission about the coastal development permit for the Sanitation District's redundancy project. That letter is pretty much scathing in that there's huge holes in the application for that project to get permitted. There's also some holes and some inaccuracies in the application for state revolving funds regarding that project. And I really would like to see you guys, because this is where the sanitation district is. Pismo Beach is considering putting the treated wastewater in your portion of the aquifer, that you take on that conversation and have it as soon as you can.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker.
Madam President, item 8A is an update on water supplies, and it's a very broad-based discussion, so I would be more than glad to address that in greater detail at that time, as well as any other board questions your board might have.
I was thinking the same thing. Thank you. All right, moving right along. Do we have any special presentations tonight? No? Okay. Tony. How are you tonight?
Good. Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. All right. We had 23 work orders since we last saw each other, 18 USAs, 21 customer service calls. First of the month, lateral cleaning. We're focusing on valve turning till the end of this fiscal year. First of the month, equipment checks, sewer cleaning of mains. We reinstalled the hydrant at 22nd and Beach. Replaced three air vacs and got to rebuild two of them, salvaged, you know, saved them, rebuilt them. Rebuilt three of the clay valves at our yard. Weed eat the basin at 22nd and Wilmar, well 8, and the Corp yard. Weeds were getting a little bit out of control after all the rain. Quite a bit of office work, as you can see. Moving furniture back and forth, getting everything taken care of. Door hangers, and just installed a few more meters and concreted some boxes in. Just want to let you know that Jason passed his D2, his Distribution 2 license.
Yay, congratulations.
Myself, I passed my Treatment 3 license.
Yay, congratulations.
As you know, the system is a T2, D2. I'm as high as I can go for this facility, so one license above what's required.
Great.
And the other two field staff are Distribution 2, so they're right where the system needs to be, and they'll be working on their T2s here coming up soon. Also, tomorrow at Farmers Market is a public works week, and we'll be attending that, representing Oceano CSD. If you want to stop by, you're more than welcome. We'll have the dump truck out there, a few other knickknacks, a camera, water meter, maybe a tapping machine, you know, for kids to play with.
Yay.
So if you're out and about, you can swing by and see us. And as for state water deliveries, year to date, we're at 206.96 acre feet. We've only pumped 0.39 due to sampling.
Wow.
We had zero SSOs for the month of April. And Lopez is currently at 14,376 acre feet, which is 29.1% full. Any questions?
Thanks, Tony.
It's went up a little bit this winter, but not much.
A little bit. It keeps fluctuating right around that 29 point this, that, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. Sounds like you guys are really busy. All right. You want to go into Zone 3, or do you want to fold Zone 3 into your presentation?
Yeah, the next Zone 3 meeting is in a couple weeks, so I don't have an update on that, but water supply will be covered under 8A, and as President Lucy mentioned, we did get the recarpeting, repainted. The office is great. We appreciate the board's support on that, and everything went well, and it looks good. Thank you.
I think it helps staff morale a lot, too.
It Yeah,
you know?
And we've had quite a number of customers who have come in and remarked and smiles.
Yeah, it's long overdue, and it feels nice in here. It feels, you know, airy and smells nice, and, you know, I know you missed the gold carpet, but...
I don't miss it.
I'd like to publicly thank all of our staff, our manager, and all of the staff for all of the efforts that went into... You know, it's not really a simple thing when you run an office at the same time you are redecorating the office and you're painting and people are coming in and it was a heck of a job. Thank you very much. And it smells new.
And just in time for the June primary, so hopefully everybody comes out and votes.
Hopefully, you know.
Yeah.
Vote early, vote often.
That's right. Here is the place to vote.
That's right. And you might even see somebody you know. Okay. So, did anybody go to any outside committees?
I did not.
Mr. Guerrero.
I was at Zone 3 Tech, but I think Mr. Ogren will have probably a better report than I would have.
You want to do IRWM?
Sure. Or, unless you'd like to.
No.
Okay. Okay, where is that agenda? I had it here. It's right in front of me. Okay. I did attend the Regional Water Management Group for the Integrated Regional Water Management Committee, and we went over the Memorandum of Agreement, I believe a final time, before it went to the Board of Supervisors. And we also voted to support the county going for the IRWM planning grant to update our plan, which would utilize about $250,000 of that grant money that we should be seeing in our county. So that was the main action there, I believe.
Was that money earmarked for planning? I think that was the only way they could use that money would be on planning.
They had an amount not to exceed.
Yeah, the $6.2 million that's going to be available for projects within San Luis Obispo County is predominantly implementation money.
Right, but the $250,000.
Yeah, a little bit could be used to update the plan. So out of that $6.2 million, they anticipate about $200,000 would be used for plan update, and the other $6 million would be available for implementation projects, which is separate from the $1.6 million available for disadvantaged communities.
Great. Thank you. I also attended the Water Resources Advisory Committee, and we received a nice slideshow presentation regarding the SGMA, the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, and how the county is dealing with that. And I'm hoping to actually get a copy of that slideshow for our records. So, and that's all I have.
Director, who did the presentation on that one?
Not Courtney.
Carolyn?
Carolyn, thank you.
All right. So I can reach out to her and ask for a copy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jen. Lori?
I have not attended any of the meetings at the airport.
Okay. Well, I fortunately got to attend the Sanitation District meeting, and it was quite a lively meeting. I always enjoy that meeting oh so much, particularly, you know, since prime time has kind of gone to the wayside. But the main discussion, it was a pretty action-packed agenda. There was discussion of one of the contracts with the Sanitation District, Mr. Rickenbach's contract for putting in an application to the Coastal Commission. And that was very informative to learn more about that. The plant has a lot of good energy moving forward. The new general manager was hired, Mr.
Hubner.
Hubner, excuse me. I'll get that after a while. Very proactive, very knowledgeable, and I think he'll be a great asset to the plant as well as to the South County as we move forward on our multiple regional approaches. So the main thing I want to talk about is about the last 9 months, it's been going back and forth about who will handle the billing for the Oceano area. The sanitation district is independent of the Oceano Community Services District, and in the past, the Community Services District has done an administrative function. So last year, I guess about March, it began that people realized there wasn't contracts, and so to make a long story short, two of the entities went into a contractual agreement to provide billing services for the sanitation district. Oceano, a contract wasn't delivered to Oceano to review, and so we did not continue to perform administrative services for the sanitation district's customers. Keeping in mind that people are customers for the Oceano Community Services District for water and sewer and other functions like that, the sanitation district is independent, and so you become the customer of the sanitation district at that point. So the sanitation district has taken over the billing services for the Oceano area residents in the Oceano area, and now they have forwarded it on to the county tax rolls. There was a long, lengthy discussion. Again, there was a discussion in October to move all three entities forward to the tax rolls, and that passed on a 3-0 vote. The maker of the motion, Director Hill, brought it back to the table. I think he was the maker. Yeah, yes, he was the maker of the motion. And rescinded the motion, and so the residents of the Oceano area will be the only entity moving forward to the tax rolls. So how will this impact each household? It will change is a slight increase in our tax bills twice a year, but we will not be getting a bill every other month for the sanitation services, which right now is about $29, and then they have a rate increase that has just passed. So I'm not quite sure what that would work out to be, but it will be rolled into the county tax assessor's office. So you will see an increase in your tax bill, but you will not see an increase, but you won't see the every other month bill for sanitation services come into the household. Go ahead, Mr. Ogren. I can see.
Just interject real quickly. So on the property tax bills, property owners will see that as a separate line item.
Correct.
They'll be able to identify it specifically.
Just like you would the school district,
yeah,
or Lopez, or
yeah,
any of that.
Yeah, so it's not going to be a hidden charge on their property tax bills.
And it won't be a tax. It will be an assessment.
So service charge.
Service charge.
Yeah.
You know, so service charge, tax, you know, either way, you know, we're paying, you know, so
right.
What we call it is probably irrelevant at this point. So the problem is that we had collaboratively as three entities gone together in on this plant, and we always kind of envisioned, and we have historically all kept in sync with each other in moving forward and developing the plant and making policies and stuff. And the three entities do have seats on the board, Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano. And so this is the first, I would probably say, administrative dividing of the parties. This is... I found it to be, you know, kind of disheartening in a way that we could not treat each other, you know, equally And so Mayor Jim Hill from Arroyo Grande made a motion, a hybrid motion, as he'd like to call it, that Oceana would be sent to the tax rolls and the city of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach would continue to provide administrative services with an increase of up to $3.25 to be assessed June 30th. And what had been proposed is that the Oceano area would take an 18% decrease in funding to provide administrative service. So being fiscal agents of the taxpayers' money, we didn't think that it was a wise choice to pay for another district services without going to the ratepayers. And so the board agreed, and a contract wasn't forwarded to Oceano anyway for consideration, so it was pretty much out of our hands at that point. Mr. Scholes, Mayor Scholes from Grover Beach, was the second of the motion, and he labeled this as a business decision, which I find a little ironic, but because the best business decision would have been to move all three forward, that would have been the most cost effective, but I don't think finances really were in play of it. So at the present time, the sanitation district will be, I think they'll be sending it over to the county, the parcels and the assessment numbers pretty soon, but I can't give you an absolute answer. I don't know if there's going to be bills that are going to be sent out to residents of Oceano. It was kind of left up into the air, and staff had been somewhat vague on how they were moving forward on.
Madam President, there are certain procedural requirements that they will be following, just as all other local agencies have to follow. The County Auditor's Office distributes an annual calendar of the timeline, and so they do have to have hearings at the SAN District. Those have to be concluded by around the end of July in order to meet the statutory deadlines, and so interested customers, if they monitor the sanitation district's agenda, can anticipate that they'll have some sort of a formal hearing on it between now and the end of July.
Well, that's very helpful to know that. And I really strongly would encourage people to go to their website. You know, they should be posting up-to-date information on that website to keep us all informed as to what direction they want the residents, the ratepayers, to go. Did you have a question, Karen?
Not really. I was just trying to find out if they were going to be billing the next couple of months before. Because the first time they could be on the tax bill would be December, right? Can they get on December?
Assumably.
Yes.
I'm assuming yes.
Yeah. Okay. I was just trying to find out so it would show up on the December tax bills.
Yeah.
We can do some reach out to the SAN district, and I'm trying to think on our next set of bills, we have to include the consumer confidence report, I believe, Celia. So I'm not sure if we're going to have room for an insert, but if we do have room for an insert, we can talk to the SAN district and maybe get a little bit of information in the water bills to inform customers of their next steps.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. In it to let the residents know how they want, you know, all of us to move forward.
I have another stupid question. Every 2 months charge from the sanitation district that is levied, is that always a flat fee, no matter how much water you put into the system?
That's correct. It's the fee differs depending on if you're a residence or an apartment building or commercial or whatever. But their fees are all flat fees. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
All right. So we'll keep people posted and up to date and how they're moving forward on and what they want us to do as people who live in this geographic area. All right. So, moving right along. Public comment on any reports, Ms. Tucker?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I, too, attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District board meeting, as I do often. And Ms. Lucy spoke about the Rickenbach warrant that was paid and the questions that arose for that warrant of $11,400 for a coastal development permit application that just a couple of weeks earlier Miss Lucy said it was a mess and had you were not convinced that this was a good product from that consultant, yet when it came time last week you went ahead and approved it. I don't know why your mind would be changed. Nothing changed in the report. With regard to the billing history and what the sanitation district has now, the step they've taken to put Oceano on the tax roll, we saw this coming back to an agenda. What I never heard from Oceano, and you are an equal voice on that board, is to ask to be reconsidered for billing as a provider of billing. What was said in October and never followed through on was Ms. Lucy was going to bring back an $18,000 a year offer. Yes, it was a reduction from the $22,000 you enjoyed for three consecutive billing cycles, but you never brought back the $18,000 offer to your board to consider. And perhaps, in hindsight, your board might consider that number. And that would have been the equitable formula in which Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach have agreed to a $15,000 flat fee and a 25-cent per hookup charge. That's what they agreed to. Oceano wouldn't agree to it, so that's what left you out of the loop and going headed for the tax roll.
The loop.
Well, that's you're not part of the game anymore.
And I'm not staff. I don't carry proposals. I don't write
it's
proposals,
in the minutes,
Ms. Tacker.
Mary, it's in the minutes.
I don't do that.
But yes, you do. You said you would, and you didn't do it.
No, I said policy.
Mary,
I don't write proposals.
You could have asked your general manager to agendize it just like you do anything else.
I'll clarify.
And you didn't.
Okay.
You didn't. It never came back. The $18,000.
I'm going to sit here and debate you. Just finish.
I'm going to. The $18,000 figure never came before your board to consider. It never did. And there's no way for any of us to know whether you would have voted to change your minds or not. So that's where you are now, and that's why you're going to the tax roll now.
A little bit of a clarification. After the October Sanitation District Board meeting, your board did discuss it on your future agenda items. And during the discussion on future agenda items, your board was aware of a possible $18,000 offer. That offer hadn't been tendered at that point in time. And what your board, under future agenda items, said that if there was a bona fide offer provided by a date certain, that we would schedule a special meeting to consider that offer. However, at the sanitation district's subsequent offer, at the sanitation district's subsequent meeting in November, that offer was never formalized. Instead, the plan at that time was to move forward with all three agencies going to the tax roll. So in terms of your board's understanding that there might be an $18,000 offer coming forward, you were aware of it and you did discuss it under future agenda items, but when it went back to the sanitation district, it stopped there and never came back to your board. The question about an equitable formula based on $15,000 plus a certain amount per account certainly was a perception of some as being equitable. But I know my opinion was that to For the sanitation district to dictate a $4,000 reduction to Oceano while proposing a significant increase to the Rio Grande and Grover Beach was not the most equitable approach that may have been negotiated. Certainly, they could have held Oceano at zero increase or zero decrease and utilized a formula that we had proposed, which would have also increased Grover and Rio Grande, and all agencies would have been receiving revenues underneath the same formula. But the sanitation district simply did not want to go in that direction. Instead, their action was to increase the payments to Rio Grande and Grover and decrease the payments to Oceano. When it really comes down to it, though, as President Lucy was mentioning, that this was a service possibility. It's a service that had been provided in the past. And right now, at the end of the day, what it means is that the Oceano CSD bills that are sent to Oceano CSD customers reflect the cost of our efforts. And in some respects, I think that's very appropriate, because as the sanitation district goes through rate increases, if those rate increases show up on our bills, then we're at a staff level trying to explain what's going on in the sanitation district, and it really doesn't have anything to do with our operations. So today, the bills that Oceano sends out are for the cost of services provided by Oceano, and it's a very simple relationship, and I think it's appropriate. So even though it's a change and people always have questions during changes and everything, I think it's fine. The issue that President Lucy addresses in terms of each of the districts or each of the areas being treated, some of them are going to the tax roll and some aren't, that was simply the conclusion of the most recent meeting and wasn't, again, a deviation from what the sanitation district had first decided on last fall. Important point to remember is that everybody, whether you live in Rio Grande, Grover Beach, or Oceano, pays the same rate. The sanitation district does not charge Oceano customers something different than it charges Grover or Rio Grande customers. The issue is the manner in which it is collected is different, but the charges are still the same for all three communities.
Does anybody have any questions? Matt? Karen?
No, I just hope we can move on and not hear much more about this.
Well, I certainly think we have
months and months and months ago.
Yeah,
I was tired of this issue when it came up a year ago.
I
think we ought to leave the past and move forward. We got a lot of work to do. We got budgets to go through. We got plenty of our own work to do, and just not worry about it. It is what it is.
This falls under the category of manufactured drama. Now it's been costly for everybody, and it's been inconvenient for all the ratepayers. And it's a discussion that it's taken a turn that's been just incredibly unfortunate.
You're going to see a lot of questions when people get their tax bills going, well, why are we getting an increase, and what is it for? Because, you know, there's so many things listed on the tax bill anymore. When you look at another amount added to it, it's going to be probably inconvenient to try to explain it to them. That's what it is. It's not really an increase. It's just being paid differently.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that the sanitation district has to work out, is how to communicate with the people of Oceano. They've kind of been guarded and right, not had to do any interface. Yeah. You know, so.
Well, and Celia and Nicole do get a lot of questions as well. So, mm-hmm. Based on the most recent sanitation district meeting the other week, we have better clarity now on how to answer those questions when people do come in.
And I agree with Karen. You know, I have to tell you is that this has been exhausting, and it's been, you know, just it's been really, really a degrading, punitive situation, and so to see it, and you know, is actually it's a relief to all of us, you know, because that's energy that can be spent in better places. And this is the packet that was the last month's, and it's all on billing. So I'm actually glad that issue is over with and we can move forward.
Well, and I guess my last comment or thought was is that I do know that there has been representatives of other communities who have made derogatory statements regarding Oceano. Yet at the same time, Celia especially has been helping the sanitation district in terms of understanding, you know, what they need to do in order to get their billing done. And she's put forth a lot of effort. Their staff has come over to our office on numerous occasions in order to do research. And she's been doing a great job at that. Obviously, at a staff level, we're more than willing to help them out. And I don't think it was recognized at the Sanitation District Board that this work that Celia's been doing, the Oceano CSD hasn't been charging for any of that time. So we've been doing it just through interagency collaboration to help them get up to speed on the efforts that the board has directed them to do.
I think that all through it, we have been trying to help on a board level and on a staff level. And on a legal level, we've written contracts for them. We've written, you know, memos. We've done, you know, billings for them. So I can't think of anything else. The majority of this packet is things that Oceano has created, you know, cost assessments. So rest assured, Oceano didn't take this lightly. We really did put our best foot forward and try to assist the agency next to us, but it wasn't happening. So on that note, let's talk about our bright future in the water business.
We have the consent agenda.
Consent agenda
first.
That's right. Public comment on any items on the consent agenda.
Julie Tacker again, and I only had a question. Is this the same Cindy Winter that used to work here or was a consultant? That was my first thought was, wow, she came back to work or something, did something for you. But the explanation on the refund then has me curious how far back. You said it had accrued quite a bit. And the question can be answered if it goes back to any of the time that you were collecting for the sanitation district, and is some of this their money, and maybe they should be refunding. Sorry to complicate it.
Quick answer to that. I'm not sure if this individual happened to be a prior employee, but if it did, if the individual happened to be a prior employee, it has nothing to do with employment. It's simply the fact that what she does is she has makes two automated payments in fixed amounts every month, and so after those automated payments are made and then we deduct what she actually is charged, then her credit has built up over time.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, this is payments in excess of all charges, in excess of all charges to the CSD, and in excess of all charges to the sanitation district. And so as a result, this is simply money that is rightfully hers. The good analogy is we all have, when we, you know, get paychecks, we have a certain amount taken out for federal and state income taxes. And essentially, she's getting a tax refund right now because of how she's chosen to pay her bills. So
it's a rate refund.
Yes, it's a rate refund instead of a tax refund.
I'll entertain a motion on consent agenda items if anybody wants to make one.
I make a motion we approve the consent agenda as amended.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? Passes. Thank you. All right.
So, Madam President, item 8A, yes. Update and discussion on water supplies, including but not limited to the 2015 NCMA annual report. I'm just going to verbally cover a number of points and encourage your board to ask questions along the way rather than waiting for me to finish up. But I'm going to begin with the new news, because on Monday, after the agenda item was prepared, the governor signed a new proclamation, and the State Water Board has adopted some, has printed some new draft regulations. And in one online article from the Sacramento Bee, the headline is, California regulators propose big shift in state water cuts. And the subline is, draft regulations would lift mandatory 25% statewide cuts. The governor's order extends ban on wasteful water use. And Brown calls for conservation to become part of everyday life. So many of us were anticipating that there would be some relaxation of the conservation mandates that the governor had adopted. And in fact, that does appear to be the direction that they're heading in. We will post these on the website, but it's Executive Order B-37-16, entitled Making Water Conservation a California Way of Life, is what the governor signed on Monday. A few of the highlights of this is that on a permanent basis, they want to establish new standards for indoor residential per capita water use, outdoor irrigation that incorporates factors for landscape area, local climate, because obviously on the coast we don't have as much evaporation as they do in North County, and new satellite imagery data. I'm not sure what they're going to use with these satellite imagery data, but they have some plans associated with that. But the basic idea is to start developing some real metrics in California on how to measure our water use efficiency. The 25% mandate that was required was a comparison to 2013, and a number of people throughout the state felt that that was inappropriate for two different basic reasons. One is some areas do a better job of planning water supplies and they didn't need to conserve because they had adequate water supplies. And the second is that if you were using water inefficiently in 2013, you certainly had a lot more opportunity to conserve as compared to if you were already using water efficiently. And certainly Oceano has been using water efficiently. So it's understandable that the governor, during the height of the emergency last year, adopted or asked the State Water Board to adopt sort of broad sweeping regulations. And what they're really doing now is trying to develop metrics so that they can be refined and implemented, you know, equitably in a long-term basis. The other issues that they want to make sure to address is commercial, industrial, and institutional water use, because that's a lot different than our residential water use, and water losses through leaks, which, of course, we know we've been awarded a grant to help with reducing our leaks. Some of the permanent prohibitions that we can expect is no hosing off of sidewalks, driveways, or other hardscapes. If you're going to wash your car, you have to do it with a hose where you can shut off nozzle. Non-recirculating water in fountains has to be non-potable water. If you're going to water your lawn, it better not run off onto the streets. And you're not supposed to do any outdoor irrigation within 48 hours of measurable precipitation. We'll see how they define measurable.
Trace of fog.
So they are going to implement some permanent restrictions. Those are going to be important because those could be subject to $500 fines if a property owner is found to be violating those. One of the priorities for the State Revolving Fund Loan Program after addressing health and safety will be for local projects that reduce leaks and other water system losses, so we know that we have that in the near future. And as a disadvantaged community, we should be able to get some very favorable interest terms on anything we might have to borrow. They even have 0% interest, but that is yet to be determined whether we could do that. In the meanwhile, the USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture, has also programs that we'll be pursuing. On the urban water supply issues, so that's our neighbors, not us, since we're still a small water system, we're not subject to as much of the regulations as the urban water suppliers are, but they're going to have to beef up their urban water shortage contingency plans, because certainly the state has recognized that some of the urban water shortage contingency plans that agencies have adopted have not been able to hold water.
Let me just say that again. That was slick. Would that include not developing your water sources, like some neighbors haven't developed anything for 50 years plus.
Well, no, not specifically. What they're really doing is going to require the urban water suppliers to identify what their available water supplies are, how they project out over about a five-year period, and then establish conservation standards based on the shortfalls that their supplies will have. There's a little bit of a default that's already happening. One of the reasons we see two of our neighbors with such successful conservation programs, and I say successful in terms of the magnitude of conservation that's been occurring, has really been significant. Well, they've had to go to their level four because of the shortage in supplies. And so this is a mechanism now that is requiring them to document it, to calculate it, and basically to have better water shortage contingency plans moving into the future.
So if you have if you're pulling, let me just get this, see how thorough they're going here. If you have a water source that's not reliable, such as, you know, our basin is, you know, very iffy, will that be captured, that if when you put your plans in, or
yes,
will it capture that you're working off a shaky basin or a low reservoir or something to that?
Yeah, that's right. So each of the supplies, essentially agencies will have to say, this is how much water we can get over the next several years, supply A from supply B, supply C, however many supplies they have. Compare that to what their demand is, and to provide bona fide calculations on how much they have to conserve in order to live within their supplies.
That's going to be good.
So the reporting is going to be really quite extensive for some of the agencies. Vice President White?
Is that going to lead to like building moratoriums? Is it going to go that far?
I have not seen anything that will lead to building moratoriums. And
or
generally
controls?
Yeah, no. Generally speaking, what happens is there's this independence between the land use planning side and the water resource side, and we all kind of scratch our heads and say, why? Uh-huh. At the same time, we know that we have housing shortages in the state of California, and we know that locally there's a lot of discussion about housing shortages and homelessness. So there's this natural tendency to keep those two separate issues separate. But what happens is that if any particular agency continues to approve development, then that demand number goes up and their requirements for conservation likewise increase if they don't bring in new supplies. So over time, we can see agencies developing water supply contingency plans that are going to have some ongoing significant conservation, especially if they allow continuing development.
Yeah, thank you.
Great. Thanks.
So, touched on a little bit of the items out of the governor's message. The last one is for areas not covered by a water shortage contingency plan, which would be Oceano, since we're a small water system. The department shall work with counties to facilitate improved drought planning for small water supplies. But there's a little of assumption in there that if we're a small system, we don't have good drought planning, yet Oceano is a small water system, and it does have good drought planning. So I don't think we're going to be having any problems with our county government or the State Water Board on these issues. Also on Monday, then, the State Water Board did, they must have been coordinating with the governor, because they did release proposed texts of emergency regulations that then are anticipated to be adopted in June. And it's the text of those emergency regulations that will formally scratch out the mandated 25% conservation. The governor has not gone so far as to lift the drought emergency. And, of course, on the Central Coast, we haven't gotten even normal. We're in our fifth consecutive year of a drought, so I think it's unlikely that the Board of Supervisors is going to lift the emergency on a countywide basis as well. But they have eased some of the restrictions, and one of them is the mandatory 25% conservation has been restricted, is proposed to be lifted, as well as the limitation of irrigating only 2 days a week. The draft regulations also have that stricken. So for us, In Oceano, what we're still going to need to do is we need to provide a report like we did in November to the State Water Board that shows our actual usage and conservation levels and everything. And we're going to have to continue to report to the state on what your board has directed in terms of conservation. And they do not expect that we would lift. So your board has adopted water conservation rates. Those have been effective in promoting conservation in Oceano. And so I think that we need to keep those rates in effect. And what we might see with the lifting of the mandatory conservation and the lifting of the 2 days a week is that individuals in Oceano who want to have vegetable garden, or to do some other drought-related landscaping, that, you know, that's the possibility that is really going to be upon us if these regulations are lifted. So I'll monitor those closely. If the relaxation is actually approved, then we'll come back to your board and have some discussion and make sure that Oceano customers know that if they want to, they can have a vegetable garden this year. So that's the new and the breaking news. In covering some of the items that I touched on, in the staff report, the recent rainy season, depending on the rain gauge, in Arroyo Grande Creek watershed, our rain was 70 to 75% of normal. Jim Gehring, local engineer who has property up in the upper Lopez watershed, has said his rain gauge was closer to 90%, and so it a little bit depends on where the actual storm cells hit, but certainly the drought continues on the Central Coast. And I'll touch, if not for our state water allocation, we would be in a much worse situation. In Exhibit A, I provided a chart of Lopez Reservoir, and as Director Guerrero had indicated, we had a little bit of increase in storage during the rainy season, but our reservoir level right now is about where it was on November 1st of 2015. So that little bit of an increase that we had has all been used up. And the most important thing is that 100% of the water behind Lopez has already been allocated. Yeah. So we have about 985 acre feet in Oceano's name behind the reservoir. That's about 1.4 years of supply at our current conservation levels. But that water has been allocated to us. All the other municipalities on Exhibit B shows water that's been allocated to them, as well as agriculture. And essentially 100% of the water behind Lopez Dam has been allocated, which means that if this coming year we don't see any rainfall, then there's going to be no new allocations out of Lopez. Again, our conservation efforts, our ability to use our state water, has given us a nice reserve pool in Lopez. But that's the basic stat of Lopez right now, is that it's 100% allocated.
Do other people know that it's 100% allocated?
Yes. In fact, that was a significant point of conversation at the Technical Advisory Committee last week.
Because I know that Arroyo Grande had a long discussion last night on
yeah,
on water.
And I conversed quite a bit with Jeff English on that particular item.
He was really good.
Yeah, and he's, you know, I think he's very much got his head up on the issue. Some of the discussion at TAC has been whether or not Oceano might have water to sell, and that was one of the points that I want to make sure to discuss. But, you know, the reality is we've been doing a good job for Oceano, but the amount of water that we have in storage is really not going to provide much relief for either Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. But what is occurring is that the county is working with the Central Coast Water Authority and the California State Department of Water Resources to bring in some of the county's excess supplies into the area to both benefit Santa Barbara County as well as bring in emergency water for San Luis Obispo County agencies. And that requires two different efforts. The first effort is the negotiations between county, CCWA, and DWR to provide the ability to do so. And that I would put as a very high probability of occurring. And that's something that the county can do independently of any of the subcontractors, because it's a right that they've had in their contracts since the 1960s, and it's just part of their rights. The second part is then being able to actually identify who is that emergency water going to be used, who's going to use that during the drought emergency. And I don't anticipate any emergency water would be made available within our county's boundaries in 2016, because state water subcontractors, through our contracts with the county, we do have a, I've been confirming with legal counsel on this, we do have a contractual right to play a role in that decision making. And that's through the waiver process. And if we recall, in 2014, when we wanted recharacterization of Lopez and State Water, the county worked with us and other agencies to get waivers approved by everybody so that that change could be made. Similarly, if any emergency water is brought into San Luis Obispo County within our boundaries, then the state water subcontractors are going to have to approve waivers. And the discussion we've so far had at the state water subcontractors meeting is what conditions what conditions of the sale of the emergency water will be necessary in order to get all those waivers approved. And one of the points that I've been bringing forward is that certainly I think there's a compensation issue involved, because all of the state water subcontractors have been paying for infrastructure since the mid-1990s. Obviously, Oceano's customers have put in, you know, tens of millions of dollars. I haven't done a calculation, but we're at, say, $750,000 roughly a year for 20 years is going to be like $15 million or something like that. So pricing is going to be very important, and all of the state water subcontractors are going to agree on it, have to agree on it. There is also a question of, well, if I had water to sell, should I be able to sell my water before the county can sell its water? And so that discussion is going to come up at state water subcontractors. And I'm generally inclined to believe that the subcontractors are going to say, if we have water to sell, it should be ours first before the county's water. However, in a drought situation like this, do we really want to sell any water? Do we want to make sure it's there for Oceano purposes? And to me, Oceano is the priority. And if that priority means that our customers are in a better situation and they can have vegetable gardens this year, then okay, they should be able to have vegetable gardens this year, because the county does have quantities of water that will meet needs during the emergency. And I'll back up a second. Their determination on Diablo for emergency purposes is that Diablo would not be feasible for emergency purposes, and we know that recycled water and the timetable necessary to implement, timetable necessary to get the water into the groundwater basin and be able to recover it, that's not feasibly an emergency supply either. So the county's excess allocation on state water is the feasible emergency option. You can do some things with Nacimiento and exchanges, and Morro Bay has a desal plant, and get that thing up and running also. But it's the state water pipeline that moves down to the Lopez turnout and is really the supply that's going to be available. So I would anticipate that in 2016, this year, the county will negotiate an agreement with CCWA and the Department of Water Resources to allow emergency water to be brought into our county. And I think that through the remainder of this calendar year, it should be the goal of the subcontractors to approve the rules, including pricing and priorities, to allow that state water to be used on an emergency basis as early as 2017. That basic parameter on emergency water is why I thought Jeff English did a good job in Rio Grande in bringing the item to his city council, because AG City voters in 1990 basically passed a measure prohibiting purchasing of state water. And what I understand their action was last night to propose to the voters to allow them to use it for emergency purposes only. And since that's the only viable emergency supply, and because of the dwindling local supplies, I think Jeff's got it right that they may very well need to start bringing in some emergency water in 2017, because the idea is you can't run out of all your local supplies before you start bringing in some emergency water. You know, you've got to start bringing in emergency water where you still have some local supplies in order to stretch out those local supplies for future years. You know, I think that it's unlikely we would need to buy emergency supplies But we can never rule it out because we're in the fifth year, and if this drought continues for many, many more years in the future, you know, Lopez will be dry. And one of the challenges with Lopez is even though we have an allocation, at some point in time, we have to start using that water, or we're not going to be able to push it through the treatment plant. You know, treatment plants have minimum operating requirements, and if our water is the only water that's left behind Lopez, then it's not going to do us very much good if we can't get it treated. On that point, if we get to that point, which would not be in 2017, it would be in 2018, then at that point in time, depending on how agencies are obtaining emergency supplies, our remaining Lopez water might move into that emergency mix. But again, not now and not through the majority of 2017. I think that any discussions about potentially selling some of our supplies really are a good year away from today. And to me, it's only in the event that we have water behind Lopez that we won't be able to utilize because of the treatment plant constraints. So that's still quite some time away.
I think one of the Karen,
go ahead. You're first.
I think one of the most interesting discussions is going to be about the reimbursements and the rates, especially with the capital investment that our community and Pismo and such have made in the State Water Project. If somebody's going to buy State Water from us, say Aguirre Grande, even on an emergency basis, what are our abilities to recuperate some of those capital investments are going to be? Because it's just not to do it in an equitable way and to do it as a good business decision, to use those phrase terms. Yeah.
So some of the feedback.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
On that particular point, I think it's important because on the one hand, we know that we've had as politely as I can say this, we've had some interagency conflicts down in South County.
Really?
Yes.
Not started by us.
And I think what's important here is county leadership on the emergency water situation. Because if the county is selling excess entitlement to the other agencies, then one is the county's got the bigger supply, right? They can meet emergency water needs for our South County neighbors. We can't meet all those needs, but the county can. So the county needs to be central to those discussions. And at the State Water Subcontractors meeting, then I interjected the idea, but what's the compensation of the State Water Subcontractors? And the conversation didn't exactly go like this, but the sum of it was, well, why would the subcontractors be entitled to any compensation if the county is negotiating the deal with CCWA and DWR, if the emergency water is going to be brought in through CCWA's allocation, and if that is part of the county's excess allocation, why should the subcontractors be entitled to any compensation? And my response was, well, if not for the State Water subcontractors, that there would be no option to bring in emergency water. And furthermore, in the 1990s, when the decision was made to sign up for State Water, if others had signed up at that point in time, then they would be in the position that we're in right now, and they would be much better off. And if they had signed up in 1990, then the number of units of water going through the pipeline would have been greater, and the cost per unit would have been less. Had those others, whomever they might have been, signed up, Oceano's costs since mid-1990s would have been less. And so,
and the demand on the other sources would have been reduced as well.
And we would have more water in Lopez. So you really have to look at it in terms of a historical context. Certainly the county's decisions to maintain that excess allocation have been very important, and that provides the opportunity to bring in emergency water. But if not for the State Water subcontractors, that opportunity wouldn't exist either. So certainly the issue becomes, how do you establish reasonable pricing for the water? We had a little bit of discussion of, well, there's no gouging that should go on. And then somebody, I can't remember who, said, well, maybe a little bit, and everybody kind of chuckled. But the point is, that's also a good role for the county to play, because it's something that the pricing is going to have to be agreed upon between the subcontractors and the county, And so the issue of making sure pricing is reasonable is certainly going to come into play. And I think we can all anticipate that a fair price for emergency water will be developed. How is it then that state water subcontractors might get compensation? And the basic idea is in proportion to however much water we're buying. So Morro Bay is the largest state water subcontractor, followed by Pismo Beach, and then followed by Oceano, and then there's a whole bunch of others too. So the most equitable approach that I threw out on the table would be any compensation coming back would be in proportion to our allocations. But
and I have a question.
Do you have a question?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. I keep jumping in. I have a question about even with Morro Bay being the largest state water contractor in San Luis Obispo County, if they're closer to the delivery source, there may have been a disparity in the amounts it cost us versus them to actually receive our water and how that factors into an equitable analysis.
Yeah, there's very little, though, disparity, because when you think about it, the Central Coast Aqueduct that was constructed in the 1990s...
I don't think about it much.
...was several hundred. Okay, if you would bear with me and think about it a little bit.
I wasn't there.
The
was it in his packet?
You know, it was a couple hundred miles of pipeline that was constructed, right? But the distance between the Morro Bay turnout and Chorro Valley and the Lopez turnout is, you know, I don't
marginal.
Know, marginal, 15 miles, yeah. Okay. Morro Bay spends, their cost for state water is significantly more than South County's because they have to have a 12-mile spur line from the Central Coast Aqueduct out to Morro Bay, and that was an expensive project of which we don't pay anything for. Only Morro Bay, CMC, Cuesta College pay for that. So their cost of water is significantly more expensive because of that additional pipeline versus tying state water into the Lopez system was, you know, I don't even think it was a half a mile project. I mean, it was the Lopez turnout off state water is just right around the corner from the from the Lopez system. So,
okay.
So the disparities in pricing there is really pretty minor.
I have a quick question.
Yeah, I'm done. Thank you.
Did you have a question?
No.
Okay. So my understanding is the neighbors are going on the ballot for emergency state water use only, strictly for the emergency.
And I think that was a tentative decision by the city council last. The ballot language would still need to be developed, and it would go need to go back to the city council still, yeah.
And also, too, is that they're, you know, they're concerned about the timeline, 2016 versus 2018 election, and what it would cost for a special election and all that stuff, right? And so they asked, you know, which state purveyors they would probably use to buy their water through, and so they definitely look to the Pismo area, you know, because I don't think that Oceana could help with their appetites.
But even Pismo utilized all of their state water last year, too. So,
but that's up to them to figure that out.
So, yeah.
So I actually think it's a good strategic move for the county to facilitate these things. But what I want to know is, if they vote to use it on an emergency basis only, will that give them the same contractual rights that we have that have bought into it 16 years ago?
No. They won't. They will have to develop special contracts. And the point here is that all state water subcontractors, including your board, will have to approve those contracts via the waiver process.
Okay.
And that's where you have the ability then to make sure to protect Oceano's rights and, you know, the contracts that that Oceano executed back in the 1990s. So the county's agreement for providing emergency water will need to be different. And it's the waiver process that protects Oceano. It also gets a little bit more interesting because at the end of this month, Public Works Director Wade Horton is going to be bringing together agencies throughout county, because just like we're talking about state water up in North County and San Luis Obispo, are talking about similar theories associated with Nacimiento water.
Great.
Because Nacimiento water has excess supplies as well. And are there mechanisms to help make sure that Nacimiento water via exchanges potentially with state water are made available? The Nacimiento deliveries are more likely along the Chorro Valley because the Nacimiento pipeline and the state water pipelines are in close proximity to each other as well. Everything kind of comes together other than Lopez. Chorro Reservoir, the Santa Margarita Lake, state water, Nacimiento water, sort of all come together at the south of the grade. So it'll be interesting to hear what Mr. Horton says later in the month. I'm not privy yet to the details of those discussions, but I do know that the Nacimiento participants are talking in manners that are similar to the state water subcontractors about emergency water.
Okay, great. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions?
I'm going to check my notes real quickly here because I think I've covered, on conservation strategy. So it's this sort of a little bit of a an interesting situation that we find ourselves in. One is where, you know, the emergency is not being declared over, but the governor is looking at relaxing the mandatory conservation requirements and relaxing the restriction of watering only on 2 days per week. And so a community like Oceano, where we have more reliable supplies and where it seems foreseeable that the ability to do some vegetable gardens or maybe to establish some drought conservation landscaping would be feasible, and yet at the same time we're not out of the drought. So I think it just simply means we're going to have to very much monitor it very closely. I think the conservation-oriented rate structure with the tiers is still going to be a big incentive for a lot of people to conserve, because if they start having a vegetable garden, then their water rates are going to go up. So I would not envision your board lifting the tiered rate structure until we're truly out of the drought. Along those lines, though, what I would like to do is entertain some future discussions with your board about working with some of the property that's owned by the CSD, most notably the depot across the street, in order to promote some drought-resistant landscaping. There's a number of places in the county where communities have developed drought-resistant landscaping gardens in order to showcase the type of landscaping that you can really develop that looks beautiful and it's, really water conservation oriented. So I know of a landscaper who is willing to do the landscape design free of charge. And the county on Tuesday adopted, it was on the agenda, I have to confirm actually whether it was adopted, but it was supposed to be, a grant program for up to $100,000 countywide, where nonprofits or agencies like Oceano CSD, we could team up and we can apply for grant money. The idea being is that that would pay for the supplies like the irrigation system for the drip and everything to put in the demonstration garden. And so I'm going to be working with the depot and seeing if we can put together a proposal to bring back to your board in order to try to develop a drought conservation garden across the street. I think the important thing is, it is technically property that's owned by the CSD. Obviously, it's a long-term lease for a dollar a year or whatever it is with the Depot Association. But it's a good landmark in the community, and if we can establish good drought conservation landscaping to, as a demonstration gardens and everything, I think it will be both a beautification effort as well as an educational effort for the community.
I just want to say the poppies were just stunning this year.
The other community is the senior center. That's, I believe, county-owned property, but again, a nonprofit runs it, and they have been interested in pulling out some of their stuff and putting in drought. They have like juniper, so it's already pretty drought conservation because that stuff doesn't use much water. But we'll follow up with them as well.
They could work on the beautification.
Yeah.
Are you looking at the weed patch to the east of the parking lot? Or?
Down in the, the depot wants to address that as well. Part of the concept there was a trail and maybe even some of the landscape milkweed or whatever that attracts the monarch butterflies.
Because I was there where the eucalyptus are, and it just has got a nice sunny exposure in the afternoons. It would be a nice place, and it
Well, and that's the type of visual appeal where when people see it, then they recognize that some of this drought conservation landscaping is actually really attractive. And,
yeah.
And I think that if we've got the situation where we can promote some of that, it's a good time right now.
It's better than weeds and dirt. That's my landscaping plan.
And I think Director or Vice President Weiss has already indicated that no succulents, right?
Well,
maybe a little bit?
No rocks and cactus.
You know what is interesting? I was
rocks
down at a wedding.
I got a lot of agave.
Yeah.
Everybody wants them.
My daughter's into the succulents. I was down in Southern California for a wedding where, and I can't remember what the community was, but it's kind of an urban, you know, Southern California, Orange County type of community. And the medians were 100% succulents, and it was absolutely gorgeous. I was just amazed at what people have been doing with some of them.
I was because what we've seen is not great.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was amazed that mine this spring when some of them came into bloom there.
Yes.
I've got some way pretty things that I didn't. My heart is softening a little bit. It's the lack of color that.
Yeah.
That's the
I can donate a lot of foxtails. I had a ton of.
Yes.
Again, we're not going to
talk about your yard now.
Well, what I noticed in the succulents is that they had to have a much greater variety of plants in order to make it look good. And for public agencies, my concern is that that probably drives up maintenance costs and everything else like that. So.
No, because they may look different, but they all have the same growing habits.
Yeah.
And we should maybe, at this point in time, remind everybody that the lot weed eradication program, we're running into some June deadlines for the Five Cities Fire Authority.
Yes.
Get those
weed
weeds
abatement.
Down. Weed abatement, yes.
Okay.
I'll shut up now.
So
that's all right.
That's a little bit of the conservation and some opportunities. So
there was a compliment in this report to Oceana. If you look at page 47, it talks about, this line jumped out at me. Additionally, in April of 2015, the Oceana CSD adopted a rate increase that included tiered rates to promote water conservation despite a water supply portfolio that is proving resilient in the face of the current drought. And so I thought that was complimentary of this board.
Yeah, that was nice to see that statement in the NCMA annual report.
Right.
And I do want to cover that in a moment
47.
But in turning to some of the other options, as mentioned before, the county determined that Diablo is not an emergency supply. And what we really have here is two different long-term supplies that are being pursued. One is Diablo, and then one is recycled. And then recycled has two different options. One is the Pismo, and then one is combined with the Sand District. Some of my intuition, if you will, is that there seems to be some really good solid support behind recycled water, even though there's more work that needs to be done on exactly what that means. But I'm concerned that if Diablo water is pushed too fast and too hard, it would lose its legs altogether and kind of be forgotten. And I think we are dealing with an emergency and we're kind of dealing with short-term issues, but I don't think Diablo should be forgotten. And so some of the feedback that I've been getting to the county is because they've already deemed that Diablo is not an emergency supply, to go a bit slower with that so that we can see how the decision-making process on recycled water pans out over the next several months and year. And so where are we at on recycled water? Because certainly, you know, Pismo has gotten out ahead of it. They have done a great job in my mind, and they are in the EIR phase right now. And part of the EIR phase is to address the larger regional project, which is a combined effort with South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. And the Sand District has had their scope of work for the recycled water project modified, and so they're moving back forward on their feasibility efforts. And so what's the dynamics between Pismo's project and the bigger project? First off, in addressing PISMO's project, the reason why PISMO labels it as a regional project is because the recharge to the groundwater basin would be regionally recharged. Even though the wastewater flows only come from PISMO, PISMO is not proposing to do all the recharge just within PISMO Beach, but instead to spread out the recharge amongst all of the agencies. And so I think
that helps secure our 900 acre feet under there.
Yeah, so their basic approach is that let's make sure that the recharge size of it is regional. Well, one of the benefits of them evaluating recharge on a regional basis is that then if the two efforts of the Sand District and the PISMO come together, then PISMO's already evaluated recharge sites. So they are moving ahead both in terms of evaluating if it's just PISMO's flows, but they've also had enough vision to evaluate if it's combined, and they're pursuing the EIR with a scenario of combined flows and regional plants. You would think that it would be easy for these things to dovetail at the end of the day, and it's set up to be able to do so because the PISMO's EIR project could very well dovetail with the feasibility of the Sand District. But whether it does or not is sometimes less about engineering and more about, you know, interagency relationships and everything. PISMO has been inviting the Sand District to some of their meetings, so those discussions are occurring. And I met with Gerhard Hubner, the new, you know,
district administrator
for the Sand District. And we talked, and I felt like we were right on the same page in terms of the dynamics that are in front of us. One of the big questions is, what's the viability of the continued use of the existing property for the Sand District? And so I made sure to point out that the Sand District's local hazard mitigation plan identifies the fact that there's a significant flooding risk, and any coastal development project has to show consistency with existing plans, so that has to be addressed. Their existing engineers do have it in the scope of work to evaluate the flooding risk, and in some respects, it's all going to come down to the continued viability of that property is going to come down to the flood analysis that's being prepared and whether the permitting agencies are going to find that, you know, justifiable or not. If it required significant flood walls or other flood protection improvements at the existing Sand District site, that could cause the redundancy project and any reclamation efforts at that existing site to be cost prohibitive. And so it really is going to be coming down to the flood risk analysis that's currently on the table, and is, I think the timetable is about 90 days off, and then how Coastal and the other permitting agencies react to that analysis, and that could be definitive, and we're just going to have to see how that analysis comes out. It's easy for us to sit and say, well, we know how it's going to come out, but you know, the work still needs to be done. And we know that there's a lot of places throughout the country that are looking at coastal retreat strategies, which simply say when you have the opportunity to move facilities further away from the coast, you need to do that. But that's a big, you know, a general national policy issues. There's actually states that have adopted policies in direct conflict with that. I think it was Virginia that I learned at the coastal conference that I went to earlier in the year, that they said you cannot use climate change to evaluate these things. So there's some states that are fighting it through policies. California is obviously not. We address it through the permitting process, and I think the Sand District has it, you know, well scheduled, and we'll see how that analysis goes. You know, I kind of can guess, but I don't, you know, until the work is done and the permitting agencies look at it. But Coastal did have quite a long list of issues that Sand District needs to address. Some of them are little issues, some of them are big issues, and the risk of flooding and, you know, coastal issues is certainly one of the big ones. Again, if that analysis is done in the next 3 months, and if they keep on track, it can still lead to dovetailing with the PISMO efforts. I think one of the biggest issues then with a combined regional plant is how do you do cost sharing? Some of the feedback that I've given is that it can't be viewed as simply a water resource project. There would be significant challenges in coming up with an interagency agreement if it's simply looked at as a water resource project. Because if we simply look at how much everybody's been pumping during this drought, each agency is pumping different. So, for example, last year, the agency that pumped the least amount of groundwater was Rio Grande, and they only pumped about 3.25, you know, just a little bit more than 3% of their allocation. The next lowest was Oceana. We pumped 14.7% of our allocation, but we only pumped until the 2014 recharacterization got approved, and then once that was approved, we stopped pumping, and we're not pumping this year. The high was Pismo. They pumped 40.7% of their allocation, and then Grover came in at 33.7. So if you look at a recycled water project and you say, well, it's got to be paid by the water users, there's a little bit of us that would say, well, why are we contributing much or any money to it? On the other hand, like if you look at Los Osos, who's paying for the recycled water project? It's the wastewater users. And if we look to solid waste recycling, the garbage users help pay for, subsidize the cost of recycling our solid waste. And what that comes down to is it's financial policies that say if you create the waste stream or if you poop in the water, then you have a responsibility to clean it up so that it can be reused. And so part of the discussions that has to occur in the coming months and this year is how much of the costs need to be paid for by the wastewater side of it. And certainly that would mean that wastewater users within Oceano are going to be potentially looking at a cost because they create the waste stream. But how much of it would actually translate to water customers is the other portion of the equation. And that has to be addressed because, for example, if ag ends up using some of their recycled water, then ag is going to have to pay. One of the options associated with the water purveyors is perhaps to look at a 5-year rolling average of how much have you been pumping. Because the more you pump, the more you should have to pay on the water side of the equation. So there's a number of different dynamics that the agencies are really going to have to be thinking about and getting feedback from the governing boards on what's the equitable approach. In the case of Los Osos, it was simply one community. But in the case of South County, we have 4 different communities. And so we have 4 different communities plus a 5th agency, the sanitation district. So you really have 5 different governing boards that are going to have to come to an agreement. And that is probably the greater challenge as opposed to how do you design and construct a recycled water facility. So there's going to be a lot of interesting work coming up on that. Overall, on the groundwater basin, the urban users used just over 21.6% of what was deemed our allocation under the gentleman's agreement. Agriculture used approximately 60%. Agriculture has been fallowing land, and a number of them are now planting only their primary soils. And combined urban and agriculture used 42% of their allocation in the Northern Cities Management Area. So everybody's conserving, and at the Zone 3 TAC meeting last week with agricultural representatives, it was pretty well acknowledged that under the low reservoir response plan, if we don't have any significant inflows into Lopez Reservoir next winter, there will essentially be 0 releases for agriculture into Rio Grande Creek in 2017. So there's a lot of coordination going on with ag in terms of what are their crop cycles and what are their when do they have to acquire their make their orders for their supplies and everything. And I would characterize those discussions with agriculture being everybody's concerned, but it's been very on board, transparent, and essentially the low reservoir response plan is providing really good guidance for the municipalities and agriculture. So I think everybody has been working together on the groundwater basin as well as possible. Obviously, there's ongoing litigation and there's other details that are more appropriate for closed session.
So but, yeah. What if we have somebody who just, entity that just refuses to do anything? They refuse to seek out more resources. They refuse to bring on any more water systems. I mean, they, for example, you know.
Well, that, you know, when you have an adjudicated basin and yet the rules of how everybody has to operate under the adjudication aren't extremely well defined. Like in this basin, the adjudication does not provide specific pumping limitations for each agency. Right? They just basically, it says in the Northern Cities Management Area, you're all going to cooperate. In the Mesa, you're all going to cooperate. On over on Santa Maria's side of the river, everybody's going to cooperate. And it's a basic plan for everybody to make sure you cooperate and manage this resource as best as possible. What happens is that if that collaboration doesn't occur, then it's really on the onus of one or more of the agencies to go back to the court and say, hey, this isn't working out, and we need to modify the solutions that were incorporated in the stipulations.
And that's kind of what's happened.
And that's the discussion, though, that occurs in closed session.
Okay.
Right, because that is where we move beyond water resource management practices and recommendations, and you move into legal discussions. So as long as this drought is continuing, we'll see. The judge currently has it under his jurisdiction. Tomorrow is the next case management conference. I think we're all anticipating he's going to maintain an involvement. He's going to want to hear updates. But that sensitive side of, is everybody really doing the best that they can?
But like you said, that, you know, there's nothing that says you, there, you know, you're allocated so much, but there's nothing, no language saying, you know,
right,
you can't be greedy about this, you know.
Right.
So we do have a couple users on this particular basin who just flat ignore the bottom line.
Well, I think the important thing to really, the individuals who are finding their agencies in a difficult situation today are not the individuals who were sitting in the chairs in 1992 and 93 and decided not to, right? We have individuals in other agencies who have inherited the situation that they're in. And like anything else, some individuals have, you know, greater vision in order to figure out what they're going to do about it, and others don't. That's why I want to make sure to compliment Jeff English again. I think he's done a very good job of bringing it forward to Rio Grande City Council.
Yes.
And in their discussion about 2016 versus a 2018 ballot effort, I think his recommendations for 2016 were very solid, because if they waited till 2018, it could be too late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might, depending on how next winter goes, they really might need to be getting emergency water from the county in 2017. And so I think Jeff is being very proactive in those efforts. And, you know, everybody's watching what he's doing, so he's doing a good job.
Yeah, no, I and these aren't, you know, it's not only government entities that can draw down off this basin. There are private entities as well that are a lot of private people. And that's mainly who I'm speaking about, is people who don't have accountability. You know, I'm it's not so much the governmental entities like Nipomo CSD. They're not overdrawing, drafting. But they have multiple water companies up on that mesa.
Well, they do, and even when we combine the consumption of all the water companies and we compare it to agricultural demand, you know, we know that ag is using a lot of water as well. So everybody's in it together.
Yep.
I don't want to be particularly critical of ag, because I rely on them at least three times a day in order to feed myself.
Not to mention your chickens and dogs.
Yeah. So, but certainly, you know, both the urban and the agricultural pumping is contributing to everything.
Okay.
Well,
just
to pick that up for a second, ag is the economic driver of the community.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, you can talk about your tourism, but I think part of the tourism is because of agriculture in this county. A lot of the tourism is because of agriculture. And so you start looking at vacating all the agricultural fields. Now you have no work for a lot of the people. And, I mean, you can't look at one side of the water to the other. They have to be shared. I'm on my soapbox. Thank you.
I agree. It's interesting living in a county where we have such a healthy agricultural industry that's very important. Obviously the debate in North County and the wineries, and as they've taken a little bit more of a hit, I guess, publicly, because wine isn't considered so much to be a necessary staple food production. So you hear
we're going to have to agendize that, because I don't think that's true for everybody.
That wine's not a staple.
I don't drink wine.
Okay, I will.
What's that called?
I'll cede to the attorney over there on that debate.
Strawberries being the biggest crop in the county, and our end of the county, and the biggest water user around.
So I think it just comes down to that strawberries must be cuter than wine grapes, right? Because the wine grapes have been taking the beating, but the strawberries haven't.
Yeah, but they can afford the lobbyists, so, you know.
It's a lot easier to drink 8 cups of wine than it is 8 cups of water, I got to tell you.
Yeah, but strawberries for breakfast, excuse me.
Okay, moving right along with that salad.
I hope that helped address some of the issues associated with, recycled water and the challenges that we need to really be able to address in the coming months. And all, again, I can say is that, I know the staff and separately elected officials are talking and engaging in the discussions. Moving to the NCMA annual report, it's a big, thick report, and about half of it is exhibits and tables and charts and reference documents. It has some
yours
good...
free for the asking.
And I'm not going to get into the sort of nitty-gritty. I've already touched on a few highlights, like, how much pumping we've been doing out of the groundwater basin. But just to give a little bit of a preview, so groundwater depressions continue to exist in the five cities area, including some depressions that are below sea level, and that continues to create a risk and a concern about potential seawater intrusion. The water quality testing that has been done, though, however, does not have any indication of actual seawater intrusion yet, or at least not picked up in the wells. It could be occurring, but just not hitting the wells yet. So we have to continue to be concerned about that. There has been some slight recovery in groundwater levels in the five cities area, and that's a combination both of, again, even though we had below normal rainfall, we had better rainfall than we had in prior years. So there has been some recovery of the groundwater levels, and of course reduced pumping has helped with the recovery a little bit as well. But the groundwater levels themselves are still very low, precipitous, it's scary. We has to be watched closely. The annual report also covers in detail urban and ag use, precipitation, again, groundwater levels, groundwater quality. It includes information on the low reservoir response plan, LOPES, and state water supplies that have been brought in. It discusses conservation efforts, and as Mr. Guerrero mentioned, it points to some of the good things that have occurred in Oceano, threats and strategies. And so strategies we've discussed as well in terms of supplemental sources. And
so do they release this for draft confidentially to the NCMA members? Or?
Yeah, and so attorneys and others commented on it. And
then they make their changes.
And then it gets finaled, yes.
Okay, so then next time we'll make sure that Tony Marchino's name is spelled correctly, right?
What, did they? Yes, we will.
Okay.
I missed that.
I'm surprised.
MARRACCIN.
They have it as CINO.
Oh, just one C. I apologize, Tony.
He's been called worse things.
Once in a while, my name gets slaughtered as well, so.
It's usually intentional.
I have one trivial question.
Good.
Well, yeah.
We're
flipping pages here.
It doesn't move forward any closer. On page 23, we refer to things like the housing water system I know that's not the correct figure, and I really also question 25 homes and businesses have been identified as served by private wells. There's got to be more than that. I don't know. It just
you mean
doesn't
the rural
seem.
Users?
Yeah.
Well, users.
Oh yeah.
They
that's
say
way
25,
more
and I'm thinking, well, there's seven in Halcyon.
Which page are you on?
Page 23. I'm just interested in accuracy. It just seems like it's not correct. But it's a trivial thing because we're not talking about half an acre feet of water or something.
It's accuracy. It's, you know, that's your point, right?
Yeah.
All right. So I'll look into that. Like, for example, though, on Kenmar Gardens, they show 48 units there. So I'll double-check
right.
how they characterize it, but I think in one paragraph they might be considering that one connection, and yet they show there's 48 units at Kenmar Gardens.
Well, I think Halcyon's water system serves more than 35 homes.
Okay.
And it serves six additional buildings that aren't homes.
And all the homeowners all the way down the levee, they're all on wells.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be more than 25.
When you consider the seven in Halcyon, at least.
Okay.
It's probably seven.
Duly noted, and I'll follow up. In fact, I'll follow up.
I know it's trivial because we're not talking about enough water to keep us going for a day. Huh?
Yeah, I think that their total estimated rural demand was about 44 acre feet of water. So
no.
In the context of the whole, yeah, it's...
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
But also, too, is that when Kenmore Gardens was brought on, there was a different formula that was created for units. So...
Yeah, the LAFCO process had provided them a sort of one-time offer that
yes.
they chose not to. Mm-hmm. There's a Kenmar or the other one who didn't hook up. So some
if
of them are still on.
The same offer would be there 10 years later,
yeah.
same price.
No, but it's not no. Kenmar. It's not Kenmar. I think
it was Kenmar.
Was it?
Yes, I remember the gentleman very clearly. And
well, I'm glad to see that the board of directors went through and read the NCMA annual report.
We open our packets.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, there are some governing boards that don't do that.
I've heard.
Yeah, I heard.
I know they just vote. I don't know what I'm voting on, but here I am. Okay, so... Moving right along, do you have anything else? I think the take-home message is that I hope everybody realizes that this is a turning point year, 2016, and there's a chance if
yeah.
people don't get moving in some communities that you could go to a trickle.
Well, and there is a final point that I need to make, and which
Great,
is a little bit
do.
Of a point of emphasis, is that we know Oceano has been in a good situation in this drought.
Don't say it too loud. People get upset when they...
We've been in a relatively good situation in this drought.
Indeed.
But this year, state water is delivering at 60%. And our 750-acre-foot allocation means that we would get 450-acre-feet of state water. But we're still getting the 750 because of the county's excess allocation. So there's, with our water use last year was just over 700 acre feet. So if that held true in 2016, that's about 250 acre feet of water that we're obtaining purely because of the county's excess allocation and contract rights that we have. But that excess allocation is not guaranteed to be available in all future years because the county can really has the independent right to do with it as they so choose. So we do have an underlying reliability concern we cannot forget, because with the depletion of the groundwater basin and with the status of Lopez, we're in a good situation that we can rely on state water and the fact that the county has that excess allocation. But Oceano has not acquired any of the drought buffer water. Avila is moving forward with doing so, and almost every other state water subcontract has acquired some drought buffer. So even though we're good this year and we've been good in this drought so far, that's not always guaranteed into the future, and I think we do need to do some work on comparing what we're doing versus other state water subcontractors in terms of drought buffer. We can't sit on our hands, essentially, and say just because we're doing well this year or in this drought, it's not guaranteed that we are going to be in that same situation in the future. And even though state water has got our back covered right now, we don't have this solid contractual right to guarantee that in the future. So we do need to do and address some long-term reliability concerns.
So would you, is there any questions? Does anybody have any questions, Jen? Go ahead.
Okay. Are the negotiations with CCWA, would they possibly affect the excess allocation, or would they be separate from that?
The way the numbers work in 2016 is that they would not have a detrimental effect on the excess allocation and our availability of water in 2016. But that's something we have to watch. We haven't seen the draft agreement yet. I've been in discussions and have been understanding of the direction it's going. But one of the points here is that a 2016 agreement is not going to be detrimental to Oceano. Every agreement has to obtain DWR's approval. And so one of the discussion points that's going on between DWR, CCWA, and the county right now is to get DWR's pre-approval for similar agreements in future years. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that if they strike an agreement in 2016, then DWR would pre-approve similar agreements in 2017, 18, 19, and 20, with the only thing really changing is the quantity of water. So then the question becomes, what is the Board of Supervisors going to do in terms of determining the quantity of water that they would make available for CCWA in subsequent years? Mm-hmm. How does that agreement look, and could it impair our ability to get any of that excess allocation underneath, you know, the current policies? So we do have a risk issue there. Mm-hmm. I think it's very unlikely that from a policy standpoint that the Board of Supervisors would put us at that risk, you know, especially right now. On the other hand, I wouldn't be surprised if the expectation is raised that Oceano do what the other agencies are doing, which is to buy a certain amount of drought buffer water.
And so can I ask you that, will you bring back a staff recommendation as to if we should line up our drought buffer options and stay very proactive on this?
Yeah. So I anticipate we're going to see draft agreements because the state water subcontractors meeting has also been scheduled. I think it's for the 25th, for later this month. So I believe they're going to be distributing the draft agreements pretty soon.
Great. And did you have anything under public comment that you wanted to add to your report or anything? No.
I think I touched on it all. What?
Okay. So then I'm going to open it up for public comment on this item. Julie?
Julie Tacker. And did you really say poop in the water?
Pardon me? Oh, did I throw a pun in there somewhere?
It was funny. I'm sorry.
I'll vouch for that.
Okay. Don't do that.
Caught me on my tongue.
Okay, the best line in the whole report, it's in the NCMA report, page 3, during 2015, there were no indications of seawater intrusion. That's the celebration, right? And I don't expect There were no surprises. There's no big alarms going off. What I would like to ask about is when you're talking about perhaps Arroyo Grande buying the state water, I know they had a lengthy discussion last night and I did not catch all of it, but you're suggesting that your buy-in over all these years for the infrastructure, I'm curious how, for an emergency use or a temporary use, how would you amortize some sort of buy-in to that infrastructure? Would there be an upfront fee? Would there be something amortized over the acre foot? Because they are suffering. Their rate structure isn't keeping up with conservation. Conservation is doing very well as far as water use, but their money is running out. And so when you go to the voters and you have to ask them to buy state water, there has to be a price tag on it. And so if they're in a hurry and having to get to that negotiation with you all, I'd be curious what that hits the pocketbook for those who want to buy. And it may be Grover in the future too, right? And then for them, would the Lopez be more cost effective? Surely it would be less money if they could buy some of your carryover water. The other question I have, and it goes back to the NCMA report, and it speaks to the litigation, and that the flows from the Mesa are interrupted by the current development that's there and the ag and everybody else up there, that it's not coming back into the northern cities. And because I'm not privy to what goes on in closed session, I am hopeful that you are looking at some way to get Phillips 66 off of that portion of the basin, because they are a giant draw of 1,100 acre feet, which is on par with that they're talking about it for Diablo Canyon. Mr. Ogren was in some kind of dinner meeting last night with Mr. Wallace and Mr. Nick Tompkins, and I'd be curious if that was related to the Arroyo Grande item.
What did he have for dinner?
I don't know. I do
nachos.
Know he was at
nachos.
Oh, Rooster Creek nachos are pretty good.
Yeah.
So, but
if
you could expand on that meeting, that'd be interesting.
Oh God.
I'll grab that meeting first because it actually had nothing to do with Oceano business, but in the I was asked to join some other people because SLOCOG is talking about a transportation measure in November.
Oh, great.
Transportation purposes, a sales tax, for our San Luis Obispo County to potentially be a self-help county. Counties in California that represent about 84% of the state's population have adopted similar measures to help with their local transportation. SLOCOG has been discussing the item, and so I was asked to meet with some others because of my prior employment as the Public Works Director and my knowledge on transportation funding. Yeah, it was an open meeting for anybody to take pictures of us sitting around, and I thought maybe a couple pictures were being taken care of, but it had nothing to do with the AG City Council meeting or water resources or Oceano business. It was some people picking my brain about transportation funding.
Did you give me a good side?
So did they give you guacamole with the chips?
I did get a little guacamole.
Yeah. Because I was wondering.
So
a few chips and a lot of guacamole.
So, that was purely, again, people seeking some of my input on my transportation stuff.
Well, public transportation is something I think for my kids' generation and the next generation, it's got to be on the forefront, like water.
Yeah.
We need to worry about a prom, okay, buddy?
Okay, moving though to the more substantive question there. Really, on the question about amortization of prior costs, the way I boil it down is, what's the consideration, right? Because whenever we talk about contracts, it's consideration for something, right? Somebody gets water, somebody gets money.
Right.
And so for the investment that the subcontractors had made into the State Water Project, what type of consideration might be appropriate? And you can do lots of calculations like amortization of past costs. And what I think we'll generally find, though, is that people will look at calculations, but then you look at, again, what's reasonable. And what might be reasonable is, what are the alternatives? So is it reasonable that somebody should get emergency water at the same exact price that Oceano has been paying for on a per acre foot basis for the last 20 years? And the answer is, that's probably
no.
Not reasonable, right? Is it reasonable that they should pay five times as much as Oceano pays? And that's probably not very reasonable either. So negotiations, people will look at numbers.
I say 16%.
Well, in consideration, though, you're using a legal term.
Consideration per year.
The term, it doesn't mean like your thought process. It means bargain for exchange.
Yeah.
And so that's a different.
The consideration is a bargain for exchange.
Bargain for exchange.
And that's where the natural position of the State Water subcontractors would be to ask for the sky, right?
Right.
Do the biggest calculations you can possibly do and then demand it. Well, the job of the county is to moderate those discussions and to try to really make sure that something reasonable is developed. And just like in houses, you know, the idea is, well, what's the fair market value? Is there ability to come up with a fair price for all things? And that's where things get interesting. And so we'll see, because everybody's basically got to come to an agreement. Now, one of the things that I would like to see is that, regardless of the source of supply or regardless of who is selling the water, I would like to see consistency. I would like to see if the county is selling water at whatever the dollar amount is going to be, and I'm not going to throw out a dollar amount, otherwise people are going to think that that's the dollar amount, unless I said, you know, something outrageous.
And they take it wrong, too.
Yeah.
They think that we want to sell.
Right. But whatever that dollar amount is, I would like to see the agencies agree that that is the same dollar amount, whether it's State Water or whether it's Lopez Water, and it's the same dollar amount, whether it's the county selling the water or whether it's San Miguelito Mutual Water Company that's selling the water. Because then it helps to reduce the frictions amongst agencies, and it just is part of trying to develop a fair price, recognizing that some people are in a hardship situation, that literally who's ever elected in those offices today and whatever the staff are, that's something that they've inherited from prior, you know, decades and stuff. And so that's, you know, you can do a lot of calculations, but at the end of the day, everybody's got to kind of roll up their sleeves and come to a pricing that seems fair.
Well, that's not today's discussion.
It's a business decision.
Yes. Oh, with respect to, you know, Phillips 66 flows on the Mesa and underflows into, those are some of the, you know, nitty-gritty details that are really part of the litigation. May or may not be part of it. If those issues are discussed, then those are discussed as part of that.
Well, Phillips 66, I think, wants to appear to be good neighbors right now, and so they might be.
Yes.
Yeah.
They might be willing to negotiate for consideration.
Moving this agenda, do we want to take a 5-minute break?
It's power.
Okay.
Nope.
No.
Okay.
Go ahead. Let's power through and see.
We need a break.
It's motivated. It all depends, because 8B and AC can go pretty quick. 8B is the continued discussion of potential recreational vehicle pump stations in Oceano.
Can we just do restroom?
Okay.
Break?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Excuse me.
Biology break?
I really apologize.
We'll come back at 8:32.
And that concludes the entertainment hour of OCSD.
No, I didn't expect the mics to be on. Okay, so we're going to count on your editing. Okay.
South County must see TV right there.
Beat that one. Okay.
Be afraid.
We're back in session.
Item 8B. Continuation on discussion of recreational vehicle pump stations in Oceano. So we had it on the last agenda, but President Lucy was not able to be here, so we put it back on this meeting. And I did have, since the last meeting, a brief discussion with a PISMO representative. And, you know, the basic conversation was my feel from last meeting was that there would be some interest from Oceano CSD on a pump station, but really somebody else has got to take the lead in developing it. And we know that through the lodge and convention center that Grover has been working on, that's where some of the need for relocating the pump station comes from. But in terms of Oceano having existing property to develop something, we don't really see it right now, and I guess the basic feedback I'm be hoping to get from your board tonight is, an interest if somebody can take a lead and, you know, point us in where they wanted, what they might want to do, as opposed to, no, Pablo, don't entertain any discussions with anybody about it.
Well, and I guess just figuring that we were probably the more likely of the communities to be able to accommodate a situation, because, you know, the garbage and the trash and the dumping of the sewer lines coming off the beach, it really is problematic. And now that maybe someday there'll be another hotel going in down a little bit further, you know, that it would drive those RVs through, you know, backed up into, say, PISMO in Grover. But it really is up to them, you know, because although it is, you know, our beach, you know, in our community, it's ran by State Parks and Recs.
Yeah.
And most of the people would be, you know, coming to camp here, but really it would be PISMO and Grover who would have to initiate, or State Parks and Recs initiate that discussion with us. And I've heard two people have actually said to me that's a decent idea and very cost effective, and Oceano CSD would be an obvious player, but I haven't gotten any more feedback from that. So I would say just file and receive.
Yeah. I do have a question.
Vice President White also.
I would think that if this was a good idea, somebody would come forward as a commercial venture.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't understand is that it's been discussed and it's been in the media, but nobody's looking at it as a way to make a lot of money or some money. And I don't know why that isn't. And so I think just file it and keep the idea.
The Banana Boys actually cruise the beach and do a lot of that.
Yeah.
And then the company Love to Camp, who rents out campers, you know, fifth wheels and travel trailers, they handle the disposal.
But I'm looking at a big facility somewhere right off the beach where you could come buy your beer and empty your trailer and the whole thing. I mean, and Lori would know more about it probably than any of us. But I don't think it's a real viable business. If it was, somebody would be in it.
I think the problem's been that it really hasn't come up for a discussion for a business. It takes a long time to get to the county with things that they've got to work out. The main thing is finding property
that you could utilize. That would be easy ingress and outgress because they have to be able to pull 35-foot rigs plus their vehicles, and some of them tow actually a trailer behind that. They have licenses for it. So a lot of what's going to have to do with where it could be placed for convenience of getting in and out without stopping traffic in, on the main roads themselves. You don't want to see them backed up. So that would be the biggest concern. I talk to the state on a regular basis, so I could talk to them and just see if they have any ideas of a piece of property possibly that could be utilized. Or, you know, the only thing that right now that I can think of would be part of the airport, because there's not a lot of stuff going on there. We have a pretty large parking area, but then we're also bringing them across the bridge or down where the Elks Club would be, and there's a lot of congestion there as well, especially on the big holidays.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You'd almost have to be able to either go out past the Elks Lodge and come through the backside without blocking traffic up and down Strand and on Highway 1. So what it is, it's just trying to find a way of getting them to an area that would be feasible for everybody. Possibly you could probably do something with the state parks. They have other property and stuff over where their offices are. So that could be an option. I'm just not sure how much development they're doing right now down in that area. But I would think they probably could figure it out, because they have their own dump station there and their own water, you know, they wash vehicles and that type of stuff. So I think there's a possibility. It's going to be a long shot, but you know, it might be worth talking to them about doing a joint venture of some sort.
That's a good idea. But at this juncture, they have it planned, you know, the LeSage dump station planned right next to the Butterfly Reserve when they build the lodge. Yeah,
when?
So, you know, when if that happens in our life.
That was my question, was whether or not the current one is staying, moving, or what their plans with the current one.
No, it definitely will move. There's no question about that, but is there really enough room to move it? And
no,
that's not our problem.
That's what we have to find out. Okay. Is
we're not part of that project.
Feasible.
Yeah.
And you know, if they don't want to discuss moving that out, then
right, they might even consider like doing it on a concession thing, because they have concessions all over the state, and they have places where they actually do boats. They do marine stuff, jet skis, snowmobiles, you name it. It's all been under concession with the state, which is what we have down here now is concessions. So there might be an opportunity for something like that. But they would have to supply the location, that type of thing. And I don't know that at this point they're interested in doing any of that, because they're so busy focusing on this humongous building they're going to put in the middle of heaven down there. So, you know, we'll see. Grover's going to have a nightmare of traffic when that thing goes in.
And so will Pismo.
Yeah.
You know. But feel free, our highways will be clear.
Yep.
You know. Until you hit Pier Avenue.
Until you hit Highway 1.
Does anybody else have any comments on this? And is there any public comment on this item? Ms. Packer.
Julie Tacker, and just a point of order, Mary voted on the consent calendar for the minutes that were last meeting, and she wasn't there.
Oh, so, I did. Thank you for bringing that up.
And then just since I'm on that subject of the consent calendar, Mr. Guerrero lives in the neighborhood of the Will Serve. So maybe that's why it's... Consent is a funny thing. It would be good if we talked a little bit about some of what's on there before you take a vote. Anyway, I fully agree with the receive and file motion that may be made, because I did speak to this 2 weeks ago, but a couple of years ago I talked to, because Mary's brought this up numerous times, I spoke to one of the mobile home parks here in town, and they do it for their own residents who have RVs, and I think the gal told me that they charge $10. So it's not a huge revenue builder. She said maybe they dump five a week. It was a very low number. But what she said, those, the majority of those who come off the beach, just they're packed, they're tired, they're ready to get home, and they drop it when they get to where they are when they unpack at home. They go to the local sewer plant, and there's either no charge or very minimal charge in Bakersfield.
Okay, so under direction from the staff, how do we go back and rectify the consent calendar? Because
I don't think that there is any prohibition against you voting on it.
Okay.
So.
And then Matt, did he need to abstain? Matt?
I don't know where it is. Are you close? Are you within 500 feet of this?
I'd have to look it up.
Okay. Still on Elm Street.
All right, moving right along.
It's on Elm.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I am close.
C.
It's on Elm, but I don't know where it is in relation to my
program. It's on Elm.
It's the Avocado Ranch.
Is it Avocado Ranch?
Yeah.
You're fine.
Then I'm more than 500.
Yeah, you're way more than 500.
But if you want to play it safe, we can open up, back up the item.
It's point one to the corner, and it's around the corner, and so.
That's
it'd be close. I don't think I'm within 500 feet. Close. It'd be close.
It's not like it's a new.
I've never run a tape on it.
It's not like it's a new project. It's
I don't know.
A name change.
No, it's not.
It's Avocado Ranch. It depends on where in the ranch.
What happened here is there was a change in ownership.
Yeah.
And so the will serve letters are not transferable. So immediately upon the change in ownership, we put it on the agenda.
Casey O'Connor sold it?
Yes.
Yes.
Is this trumpeter?
That's how connected you are into that, and that answered the question for me. So that's perfect, Matt.
So
you didn't even know it was sold.
All of the terms and conditions are the same with the project, then. It's just a transfer
yes.
of ownership.
This is a transfer of ownership.
All right.
Okay. Number C, sir.
So on item C, 8C, it's consideration of a recommendation to authorize the board president to execute a franchise extension with South County Sanitary Services, Inc., subject to certain conditions of approval. And the key issue here in the recommendations is the authorization for the board president. Because if during final review, essentially there's three different issues. Either the board president could seek to bring it back to your board, legal counsel could, or I could provide the recommendation if in the final discussions we think that there's something that needs to come back, but we're not anticipating it because, the franchise extension is something that was brought to our attention as a request that followed the approval in 2015 of the Prop 218 hearing that you had on the increase in garbage rates. It was approved at that point in time at a 3.25% increase with subsequent years increases based on the consumer price index and increases in landfill costs. But essentially the franchise extension is sought because in order to do the organic diversion program and the energy generation program, that there's going to be an extensive capital investment. The garbage company is looking at a joint venture with CompoGas. So all of that is pretty straightforward. But what I want to do is work with the garbage company on two different issues. And these are, administrative in nature. One is on the reporting that the garbage company provides to us. And reporting is addressed in Section 6 as far as billing reports and in Section 9. And those include some of the things like the waste diversion reports. And when I look through the franchise agreement, there's some inconsistencies between the reporting that we've got in our franchise agreement versus like what they produce for the IWMA and everything. And that's not uncommon because reporting changes over time. So I want to make sure that what they're reporting to us is current and consistent with how they do reporting to like IWMA. I want to make sure that we have the details so that we can make sure that the franchise fees are calculated correctly. If you recall, about 18 months ago, right after I came on board, we had found some mistakes in the garbage company. You know, sent us a bunch of extra money. So I want to really make sure that the reporting is seamless and it's got the good data in it. And that's just simply an exercise. So I've scheduled a meeting with the garbage company for later this month so that we can go through, you know, all those details of reports and really come figure out what makes sense. You know, the substance of it isn't changing in terms of we have a 10% franchise fee that generates about $80,000 a year for our garbage fund. We also get a separate landfill savings fee of about $7,000. And then the third thing, compensation or consideration we get from the garbage company, is we get about $6,000 in free services. And so I also want to have the discussion about how we might be able to use that existing arrangement of $6,000 in free services to help better address the illegal dumping that's going on in the community. And so those are really the two things that I want to have continued dialogue with the garbage company or the South County Sanitary Services. Is one is making sure we iron out the reporting, and second is how better can we use that $6,000 in services to address illegal dumping. With that, then, the recommendation is to authorize your board to execute the extension subject to, you know, the ability to deal with those administrative issues, including any amendments to the franchise agreement on the reporting requirements and assistance in abating illegal dumping. It would require also final approval by legal counsel as to legal form and effect. And essentially that, you know, this is a pretty straightforward thing. We've got some administrative items, again, that we need to address. But if that met the pleasure of your board, then essentially, Jeff and I would be working on it, and then President Lucy would be authorized to sign. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
I'd move to approve staff recommendation.
Public comment? Board discussion?
Kelly? That was board discussion.
Is there anybody else who wants
second?
To?
Second.
Go ahead.
Okay. No, go ahead.
You're all right.
Just the $6,000, I know we had this in Los Osos when we had a trash franchise.
Oh.
We gave that to you too, Pavo.
Not me. No, that was the old Pavo.
Oh, yeah. The old
this is Pablo.
That was Pablo.
So
he's got a dog.
Anyway, the $6,000 or whatever the number was, when the garbage company comes in twice a year and does Big Trash Day, that's what I call it, and you can have your mattress or your refrigerator or your sofa picked up for $10 more. I would love, because Oceano is disadvantaged, that $10 is absorbed by the $6,000 and that everybody on Big Trash Day puts that out there and they don't have to pay the $10, because that $10 can mean they keep it in the garage a little bit longer or whatever, and then they dump it later. So I just think that would be a nice way to see that $6,000 go very far, because they're already offering that great low price service.
And that's consistent with my thinking also, is to try to use that free service, try to develop some sort of a voucher program so that people recognize that as long as they get out in front of their you know, couch problem, their whatever the problem is, right? Because I think it's true is that to, you know, be able to transport it from here over to the landfill, pay landfill fees, that ends up being something that...
It's just more than $10.
Yeah, it all adds up. And
yeah, but you have to keep it in mind, too, is it's $10 per item, and I just dropped $60 on having six items picked up.
Mm. Yeah.
And two of them were little chairs.
And so it ends up being a combination of, you know, we've been doing really good in the last year with the enforcement side and posting, and the vast majority of property owners When they've gotten posted, they take care of it, and some of them are frustrated because they didn't dump it on their property, but, you know, they're taking care of it. So on the one hand, we have to have an enforcement program. It's part of human nature. But on the other hand, trying to develop an incentive through a voucher program and then good public education. So I want to make sure to explore that. It may be that there's no necessary changes to the franchise or anything with the garbage company. It's just how do we implement the program here. But, you know, the people who are in that industry, they work with a lot of different communities, and they see a lot of different things working in different communities. So I want to make sure to have that conversation with Mr. Fenton and get his feedback.
Yeah, and I think that would be interesting, too. And a lot of those illegal dumps are rentals. And, you know, the landlords know that it came out of their units. And so if you worked a voucher program with the owners,
yeah,
you know, we might be able to.
And one of the ideas that he threw out just off the top of the cuff is we do have the two big cleanup weeks. But in the intervening months, there might be a day where he schedules and brings in a big roll-off. And you know, and so we do something with people through the vouchers on some other scheduled days or something.
Right.
But it's a combination, really, of enforcement, incentives, and good public education.
No, I think it's a great idea. So is that a... Do you want to make that...
So those are the things, you know, again, as part inherent in the board letter and in the staff report, that's the continuing discussion, so that it's all covered by the written staff recommendation.
Okay.
And
as a motion and a second.
I think that they may need to be re-motioned and re-seconded. Since
so we're looking at signing...
it would just be...
the contract and then...
I would recommend approval of staff recommendation.
Okay,
recommend. And we'd have that all covered.
That's what we did.
They did that.
He did that and I seconded it.
It was very eloquent.
He did it. She said it.
Aye.
Well, I said it because I figured if we were going to have more discussion, the motion needed to be seconded.
Okay. Correct? Take a discussion.
So. Yes.
Right. Okay, so call a question.
We don't need a roll call. Just all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's denied.
Any opposed?
Okay.
I got to do it today.
Carrie's 5-0.
I never get to do that.
All right, number 9, hearing items. I think that's we're done hearing items, right?
We have a closed session.
Received written communication. Nobody wrote to us this
the governor.
Last 2 weeks.
The governor sent us this
proclamation. Yeah.
He's been quiet lately. He doesn't call.
Do we need to move ahead to future agenda items?
No, we're going into closed session items. But do we need to... What Karen said?
No.
I need to make an announcement.
Okay,
hold on. I need to make an announcement. The Oceano Depot is having a yard sale on Saturday and Sunday, May 14th and 15th at the Depot. Hot dogs and popcorn on Saturdays.
Nice.
So go by and buy some of their gems.
This Saturday?
Are you sure it's not Friday and Saturday?
No, it's Saturday and Sunday.
And you got that today?
I got that tonight from Linda.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, lots of miscellaneous treasures.
There he is.
So bring a truck.
I'm going to go buy back all the stuff I donated.
For the...
No, we should.
We can't. For the future agenda items, I noticed that the April 13th minutes did not get put back on, but they needed to be voted on by the people that were here.
Okay.
What's this? Shoot.
All right. So future agenda items is the approval of the April 13th minutes.
We're going to have a bunch of budget discussions.
Yeah. We're going to talk about, well, we talked about water tonight. Now we'll talk about money next time. Okay. So it's your turn, Mr. Minery.
Okay.
How are you tonight?
Excuse me?
How are you tonight? Entertained?
I'm so entertained. Wonderful. Okay, pursuant, board adjourns to closed session pursuant to government code 54956.9A, conference with legal counsel regarding the Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District for the city of Santa Maria et al.
Boom.